We are in the body of Christ in a terrible warfare. We have been for a season. The world is in a terrible warfare. The darkness is getting darker and darker. And the church isn't bringing much light into this darkness. And you guys, you know, that are here this morning, and God has called you to minister His word, you have to make sure your light is forever shining. You cannot never let the enemy at any time tarnish your light. You have to be strong in everything you do and everything you say. And if you're really truly walking with God, right now the enemy is bombarding you on all sides. And you have to stand your ground. You can't compromise. You have to stand your ground in every situation, knowing that God is more than able to bring you through. All right? Father, I just thank you and I praise you for all those that came out this morning. And I know that as I looked around at these are your teachers, your leaders, Father God, your evangelists. And I'm asking, Father, that you do a powerful work within them this day as you are sending them forth to do the great mighty works that you've called them forth to do. And Father God, as you release them into new assignments, new ventures, Father God, I'm asking the Holy Spirit become so strong, so evident in their lives that every place they go, God, people will know that they are yours and their lives will be changed. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, God's going to talk about, he wants to talk about transformation and reformation. Now tonight, I'm going to talk about, God has said it, that the next door is opening. And so what that's going to be all about is God is transitioning you into a new assignment. But this morning, let's just talk about transformation, reformation. God spoke to me and said, I'm in the process of transformation and reformation. Now, transformation is a quantitative change, you know, quality change. You will change from the inside out. It's not these little changes that you see going on. God is going deeper than ever. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. God said, if my children would quit resisting change, I could do wonderful and marvelous things in their lives. But because they think they know what is best for their lives, I can do no mighty works within their lives. I am not going to stand by like a babbling fool and try and convince the church they need to change. I have been speaking about change for over a decade now, and now I must move on to those on the streets that want change but do not know how to get it. Do you know there's many in the body of Christ are sitting under leaders that never teach them about the true gospel of Jesus Christ? They never teach them about, I'm hearing God say, the resources that are out there for them through the word. They're never taught about the anointing. They're never taught about love. They're never taught about the love is the foundation, and therefore they're out there just wandering around. I'm hearing God say not getting sure-footed in anything, and they're just wondering. And God needs the body of Christ to become sure-footed at this given time. God went on to say, you just read in my word that you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How long have I been speaking to you that you need a brand new mindset? Way too long now. Either you were willing to allow me to change you, or you stayed stubborn in your ways and have already missed out on what I wanted to do with your lives. Now, if you don't let God change you, he's saying right here, it's too late. God said, you think you know more than my prophets, when in fact, my true prophets paid a very dear price to hear my voice and then allow me to speak through them to give you direction to your lives. God said, I know you say I can hear God for myself, But if you have not paid the price, you are hearing mixture. You are hearing in part. You are hearing part of what you want to hear and part of what I'm truly saying. And in this process, you pick and choose what you want to believe. And isn't that true? Let's read that again. I know you say I can hear God for myself. But if you have not paid the price, you are hearing mixture. You are hearing in part. You are hearing part of what you want to hear and part of what I am truly saying. And in this process, you pick and choose what you want to believe. I see that all the time in the body of Christ. And it's sad that you don't really choose the words that God is speaking to you and let the things that you think you need to do, lay them aside and just walk in the fullness of all that God truly wants you to do. Hearing God say, there's a mighty work out there that needs to be done. And you have to know that you know that you know that you truly do hear God's voice. And it's not a mixture, but it's God's voice that you hear. And I'm quite sure there's a lot of us in here, including me, that at times as God is talking to you, and you're saying, God, was that really you? You know, I do this, God, is that really you telling me? That's because sometimes it seems so far out there. You know, you just want to know that you know that you know that it's truly God speaking to you. And if you ask him that, he's going to tell you. He's going to confirm. You don't even have to confirm it through somebody else. If you're truly walking with God, he will confirm that to you. All right? You have to trust God. You truly have to trust him. God says, church, mundane is not a word I use. I am not a mundane God, and I do not say idle words. You speak idle words, but I do not. It is those idle words that draw you off course over and over again. It is those idle words that keep you in derision. I am also a God that does not walk in derision. My footsteps are sure and firm. My words are yes and amen. God said, I so wish your words were yes and amen. You make a covenant with me when the Spirit is moving, but as soon as you get out from under my Spirit, you go right back into your old ways. I so desire that you learn truth and walk in truth all the rest of the days of your life. You are so busy promoting yourself that you do not have time to learn my truths that are in my word. You know, please don't promote your own selves. God will promote you in due time. God will take you where he's promised you he's going to take you. In the meantime, just be sure-footed in God and know that he has your life in the palms of his hands and he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. If you don't know that, then the devil's going to take you off course. There's so many times the enemy has come and fought me, but see, I know that I know that I know that God has called me, and he does have my, he's told me many times, I have your back, and I know that whatever the enemy's doing, God already has a way of escape. He's already paved the way for you to go, and you don't have to be concerned about the enemy's going to keep you there, because God surely has made a way of escape for you. All right? God says, change, my children, change, change, change. Your lives will be continually changing as long as you walk this earth. For my entire scope of your life is all geared on change. Does not my word tell you that I take you from glory to glory? Well, that is from change to change. Since when does complacency come into our picture of end time events? It doesn't. So then why do you keep going back to complacency? You see, when I start changing your attitudes, you balk. You do not like anyone telling you what to do, and that includes me, your father. How many of you run into people like that? Even in the body of Christ, when you go to them, you know, say, God's really showing me this. They get upset, and they don't want to hear it, so they don't want to change, and they don't change, and therefore God cannot do what he desires to do in their lives. God said, this change situation must take place before I can use you to carry the glory. For my glory is very weighty, and if I give you the glory without change, it would kill you, and I do not desire to kill any of my children. So what is it going to be, complacency or change? Right now you have to determine your heart. Am I going to be satisfied with just sitting, just doing what I've been doing every day? Or am I going to allow God to minister to me and allow God to change me? I don't care if he changes me, you know, in a private room, just me and him. I don't care if he changes me by sending somebody else to me to tell me something. I just want to change. I just want to be what God wants me to be. All right, let's read Romans 12:1 in a different version than we did when we first started. So I beg you, brothers and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to him. Considering what he has done, it is only right that you should worship him in this way. Don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. Then another version says, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers and sisters, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. You know, back here, God said that we need to give God everything. We need to offer your lives as a living sacrifice. Ever since I've been born again, my life has been God's. And, you know, I don't go visit very many. I don't go visit my relatives. I really don't do a lot of things a lot of other people do, because God has me staying with him and in his presence so that he can speak the truth to me, so I can then tell it to the church. Now, even in my own home, my family gets upset with me because I don't take weekends and go off somewhere and visit with my relatives. But see, if I'm not in God's presence, then I'm not hearing God's voice, and how can I minister to you? Well, everybody's dead in my family now except my brother and I, but they all knew I loved them. My brother knows I love him, but they also know I have a walk with God. Are you listening here? So see, you have to decide what you're going to do, whether you're going to fellowship with your family and friends. And I'm not saying don't fellowship with your family and friends, or if you're going to fellowship with the Father, become intimate with him, give him your time and your loyalty, and let God take care of everything else. All right? Now, when it comes down to it, Paul is pretty well convinced that there are two options for our lives. One option is to be squeezed. We can allow our lives, our values, our attitudes, our convictions, and our relationships to be shaped and formed from the outside in by the forces of the world around us. In other words, the things that we get involved in the world will shape us, all right, from the outside. The other option is to be transformed, period. Our lives can be remolded, reshaped, redesigned from the inside out by the wind and breath of the Spirit of God. If we allow it, the world will squeeze us into all of its messy molds that will lead us down the wrong path, a path of total destruction. The gospel is about the inner transformation of our lives from the inside out by the power of the Spirit of God. And Matthew 23:25 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. See what Jesus spoke to the scribes and Pharisees. question we need to be asking ourselves. Is my life more like Jesus today than it was a year ago? Are my attitudes, my values, my convictions, the practical stuff of my life more consistent with the will and way of God revealed in Jesus than they were 6 weeks ago or a month ago? Will the road you're on get you where you want to be? Will the path you are following, the process by which you are living, enable you to become a transformed person? And will the path you are following allow the Spirit of God to be at work within you so that your life will become a tangible expression of the whole perfect, loving, and life-giving will of God? You're supposed to be an example to the church and to the world. You're supposed to be walking around just like Jesus did. What did Jesus tell the people in the Bible? Let the dead bury the dead, and you follow me. You've got to make a choice. It's either the world or it's God. Now, I don't care how you live your life. I'm not telling you how to live your life. This is just what God is telling us. We have to make a choice. God or the world? Family or God? I've had people say, well, if I don't go to this family reunion, then they won't speak to me. But if you do go to the family reunion and you don't spend time with God, then is God going to speak to you? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying don't go to reunions. I'm not saying don't do that. But I'm just saying too many of the church are want to party, want to visit, and want to do all those things, but yet they're not spending time with the Father. When my mother was alive, I had to go every weekend to Pennsylvania, which is a five-hour trip, clean her house and get her house all together, and then come back for Sunday services. I would go there and clean. When she'd go to bed at night, I would sit and study. We'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and travel back. But it was the most beautiful time in the world because God came into the car. And God just ministered to me, so when I got here, I was ready to minister the word, and great signs, wonders, and miracles followed. So see, I did. There was a period of time in my life where every weekend I had to go to Pennsylvania because of my mother, but I always gave God time while I was there. I didn't take time away from my mother, and I even gave up my sleep just so I could spend time with the Father. See how that works? And I was never tired or sleepy. He always gave me strength because I gave him first time. All right? Now, reformation. This Greek word means making straight and was used of restoring to the normally straight condition that which is crooked or bent. In this passage, it means the rectification of conditions, setting things to rights, and is a description of the messianic time. So, God is restoring what the enemy has stolen. He's making everything right. Now, reformation means also rescuing from error and returning to a rightful course. So God is trying to get the church to get out of error and get back into the truth of the word. There's a prophetic word that keeps coming on my email that says, it's time for the pastors to arise. And I read, just skimmed through it the first time I saw it, and it's saying that the pastors have been silent in the pulpits. The pastors have not been telling the truth, and they have not been telling the people sin is sin, and therefore the church is lost. But now, he said that God is dealing with the pastors to tell the truth and get the people right again. Now, I've always spoke against sin, and that's just why I get myself in a whole bunch of trouble. But you know, that's what God has me do. That's my lot in life, all right? Kenneth Hagin had it easy. He just talked about faith. And he never had to say that, you know, you were a sinner. But that was his lot in life, his calling, I should say, all right? So we each know, we have to know what our calling is. And then you just have to let God use you that way. And if you're a pastor who's always teaching about sin, you'll spend many hours in your home sitting crying because nobody likes you. That's the truth. Nobody likes you. And so they shun you because they don't want to, they're afraid that when you get before them, you're going to tell them of their sin. And so they don't want to have anything to do with you. So it can be a lonely life. if you allow it to be, or it can be a wonderful life because you're spending your time with your Father and knowing that you're His daughter or His son and you're doing what He's telling you to do. John 8:31 says, Jesus said to them, "You are truly my disciples if you live as I tell you to, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we are descendants of Abraham," they said, "and have never been slaves to any man on earth. What do you mean, set free?" And Jesus replied, "You are slaves of sin, every one of you. And slaves don't have rights, but the Son has every right there is. So if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free." I want you to remember that. If the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free. And I don't care how many times the devil comes at you, say, "The Son set me free. And because the Son set me free, I am free." I've had to use that scripture over and over and over again to make the devil stop trying to tell me that I was not the righteous of Jesus Christ. All right? So remember that. Throw that in his face, and he will leave you. And Jeremiah 31:31 says, "The day will come, says the Lord, when I will make a new contract with the people of Israel and Judah. It won't be like the one I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a contract they broke, forcing me to reject them, says the Lord." Now, God had me do this scripture because he said this is the church today. "But this is a new contract I will make with them. I will inscribe my laws upon their hearts so that they shall want to honor me. Then they shall truly be my people, and I will be their God. At that time it will no longer be necessary to admonish one another to know the Lord. For everyone, both great and small, shall really know me then, says the Lord, and I will forgive and forget their sins." Then God, now you remember what you just read in the scripture, and God said, "I am working on bringing my true church back to holiness and righteousness, and all will know that they serve a living God. As it is right now, you cannot separate the church from the world because the church acts just like the world." Now, I want to stop there. When God told me that this scripture was the church today, see, you guys have stepped into a really neat thing. You're not going to have to fight all the devils in hell to get people right, because you're called into this dispensation of time where everybody else has been doing the work, and now you're going to produce the fruit. And you're going to watch the church turn around and become a holy church, one without spot and wrinkle. And I would be excited if I was you younger people, because you're really going to glean this harvest, and they aren't going to go back out into the world, but they're going to stay secure in the arms of God. Why? All because you paid a price. You said, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And then you allowed God to go inside and start cleaning up the junk that was inside. And then it's come out now, and you're not only clean on the outside, but you're clean on the inside. All the junk is gone. And whenever you go out there, it'll be holiness and righteousness, and the glory of God will be with you, and the anointing will flow out of you, and people will just want what you have. All right? God said, "But all of that is changing." You know, he said the church is like the world. "But all that is changing even as I speak. I will not have a bastard church. My church will be without spot and wrinkle, and my church will obey my voice and be led by the Holy Spirit, no longer being persuaded by the world and the events in the world." You will be changed from inside out. Excuse me. And that is what I have been doing for the past 10 years. I have been going deep down inside, and I have been eradicating all that is not of me. I have been shining my light on those places of darkness, and I have been revealing them to you, and I have been saying, "There they are, now get rid of them." Some have been working diligently on this reformation, but others are still bucking against the goads, and it is going to take them to a place of displeasure that they are not going to be freed from. God said, "You have to go through this reformation if you are ever going to be vessels of honor that I can work through. You're going to have to go through this change, guys. You're going to have to give up all that junk that you've had inside, all those thoughts. Mind's going to have to be renewed if you're going to be vessels of honor that God can use." God said, this is not a hard thing. All you have to do is yield your bodies over to me and allow me to do the perfect works from inside out. Remember when God was dealing with us about going deep inside of us? I even said, God, I know there's things in me that's not right. I can tell by the way I act. So please go deep down inside of me and pull everything up out of me that's there. I had a lot of trauma, a lot of pain, and things going on in my life for 10 years. I said, I need all that junk pulled out of me. And he did. He cleansed me, brought me forth. But I had to ask him to do that. Don't sit there and just think you're going to go to heaven because, after all, you're going to do the things other people do. You've been hurt. You've been wounded. And there's things inside of you that God needs to pull out so that you can go forth totally cleansed to do the work that God's calling you forth to do. God said, I have spoken to many of you, and I have told you this is the path. Walk ye in it. But alas, you would not heed my voice, and you stayed on your path, and this path is leading you to total destruction on all sides. How many people have we seen, or how many people have you talked to that you know that they would not heed what you said to them, and they stayed on the path they were on, and if you're watching them, they're going the wrong way. You can't make them turn around. You already went to them. You already told them what God said. Now it's up to them to do whatever it is that they have to do to get things right with God. Isaiah 30 verse 21 said, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. In other words, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in the path that you're supposed to go. And he's not going to let you get your foot off of that path. He won't. I was fasting last week, and I went through my bedroom and went through the doorway, and I picked up a plum, and I was going to eat it, and the Holy Spirit says, what are you going to do with that? I said, I'm going to put it back. There I heard a voice behind me. What are you doing? All right? Come on. God said, I am here as your rescuer. Will you allow me to rescue you? The church must go back to the Word and start preaching the truth that is in my Word, call sin, sin, and call the peoples back to repentance. And God said, my children are to soften their words if they are going to save a lost and dying world. When you are ministering one-on-one, this is what he means by that, when you are ministering one-on-one, God wants you to soften your words to the lost. I didn't say soften the word, but soften how you speak to a lost soul. We must show them love, grace, and compassion. We must let them see Jesus in us. All right, for an example, I've been dealing with somebody for about 2.5 years now. And when I first started dealing with them, God was very loving and kind to them. And God spoke the truth of how they should be living. Then after fashion, then God got hard with them and said, if you don't straighten out, you're going to go straight to hell. You're never going to go to heaven. And now I'm still dealing with that same person. And God isn't talking about sin or nothing to them, not heaven, not hell. And God is just telling them, I love you. And I'm here for you. In other words, now God has quit. It's up to that person to either receive or reject the love of God. All right? So there was a real soft, loving time. Then there was a time where, okay, now you have to get it together. And now it's a time of just letting it go. Don't be pushing it and prodding it. Let it go. That now is between that person and God. God says, my children, you must become meek and lowly of heart if you're going to be vessels of honor that I will place my glory upon. And Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you laboring and burdened ones, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am meek and humble in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if you claim to be just like Jesus, then you must show Jesus to the lost and dying. Verse 29 states, take up my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, then, you need to be an open book and let the people see what Jesus is like. Not what you're going through, but see what Jesus is like. You need to let them see that you do not carry heavy burdens, that you have learned to trust in Jesus in every area of your life. Your life should say, you can trust me as I walk with Jesus. I will show you the way to salvation. Your life should say to that lost person, you can trust me as I walk with Jesus, and I will show you the way to salvation. You know, something was going on in my life, and the other day somebody said, why don't you get upset? And I said, God has it in the palm of his hands. I can't change it. You just don't want to confront. No, I don't want to confront, because Jesus says, be still. And, you know, they don't understand that. They, you know, because they're still in their worldly ways, and they think you should go out to rant and rave and carry on like a fool when Jesus says, leave it alone. I have this in my hand. Just keep loving them. Just keep showing them Jesus, and I'll do the rest. All right? And Romans 12:3 says, God has given me a special gift, and that is why I have something to say to each one of you. Don't think that you are better than you really are. You must see yourself just as you are. Decide what you are by the faith that God has given each of us. Each one of us has one body, and that body has many parts. These parts don't all do the same thing in the same way. We are many people, but in Christ we are all one body. We are the parts of that body, and each part belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts. Each gift came because of the grace God gave us. Whoever has a gift of prophecy should use that gift in a way that fits the kind of faith they have. You know, and as I read that, because each one of you in here that come here, and you know, that belong to the church, you have the gift of prophecy, and I love to watch and how you prophesy, because each one of you are so different. And God uses you, each one, and I just sit back in awe at how God uses each one of you in your different personalities to minister to the people. And you ought to just stand back in awe, too, that God does use you that way. And don't try to be like somebody else. Just let God use you. I can really tell what kind of a person you are just by the way God prophesies through you. I can really tell that, because it's your personality that God is speaking through. And verse 7 says, whoever has a gift of serving should serve. Whoever has a gift of teaching should teach. Whoever has a gift of comforting others should do that. Whoever has a gift of giving to help others should give generously. Whoever has a gift of leading should work hard at it. And whoever has a gift of showing kindness to others should do it gladly. Your love must be real. Hate what is evil. Do only what is good. Love each other in a way that makes you feel close like brothers and sisters, and give each other more honor than you give yourself. When you're worried about somebody else, oh, they're talking about me. Well, you want all the honor, and you don't want to give anybody else any honor. As you serve the Lord, work hard and don't be lazy. Be excited about serving him. Be happy because of the hope you have. Be patient when you have troubles. Pray all the time. Share with God's people who need help. Look for people who need help and welcome them into your homes. Let's read that one again. Share with God's people who need help. Look for people who need help and welcome them into your homes. Wish only good for those who treat you badly. See that? Wish only good for those who treat you badly. Ask God to bless them and not curse them. When others are happy, you should be happy with them. And when others are sad, you should be sad too. Live together in peace with each other. Don't be proud, but be willing to be friends with people who are not important to others. Don't think of yourself as smarter than everyone else. Do you know some people won't go to a small church because they want to be sitting in a big church where rich people are? They want to rub elbows with the rich people. I've told me, now, I love your church, but I want to be in a big church where I can rub elbows with the rich people. Those rich people are not going to take you to heaven. All right? So, if someone does you wrong, don't try to pay them back by hurting them. Try to do what everyone thinks is right. Do the best you can to live in peace with everyone. My friends, don't try to punish anyone who does wrong to you. We need to get that down in our spirit. Don't try to punish anyone who does wrong to you. Wait for God to punish them with his anger. In the scriptures, the Lord says, I am the one who punishes. I will pay people back. And you find that in Deuteronomy 32:35. But you should do this. If you have enemies who are hungry, give them something to eat. If you have enemies who are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will make them feel ashamed. Proverbs 25, verse 21 through 22. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil by doing good. See, the church does not practice this scripture at all. And the church needs to be about the Father's business. Get into His Word and see what He wants you to do, and then do it. All you have to do is just say, God, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do in this situation? Turn the other cheek? But my cheeks are wore out. Turn the other cheek. Right? Then you become like Jesus. When you can keep turning the other cheek. You might go in a corner and cry. But you never let them see you cry. You just do that. Be like Jesus. And do what Jesus tells you to do. This is what a transformed / reformed child should look like. You know, this scripture. Does this describe you? So what did God say to us in the beginning or in the middle? I am here as your rescuer. Will you allow me to rescue you? God wants to do a radical change in your life this morning. God does not want you to leave here the same as what you came. We are in for some really wonderful times with God, and God is really, really right on the verge of dropping His glory with all the power and the authority that it brings. But there's still a few things that God is working on, and He's still trying to change us from glory to glory. My job here my calling in life is to have a church, train up ministers, and then let them go out, get them go forth. I don't hold anybody, that God's telling to go. See, in a lot of churches, they will hold you down. They won't let you go forth. Because if they do, then there's a head they're missing. Well, if you would just let them go, God will put a soul in there that needs to hear the gospel. And then that person can be released to go and do the works that God's called them forth to do. Whenever God sends you out, you've already been changed. You've already been rearranged. You already know what God, you've gotten everything God wants you to have. And now He wants you to go and feed His sheep. He wants you to go forth in abundance of His blessings. And you can take everything you've learned from God. Not from me, but from God. And all these different altar calls we've had and all these different giftings God has placed in you. You might think they're not there. You might think you didn't receive anything. But you wait till you go out. All that's going to come gushing forth. And God's going to get all the glory. And so please don't ever feel like you never received anything, because you have. And I've heard some testimonies, sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, God, are they receiving anything? And I've had some great testimonies of what people did receive. And, every now and then I need a little bit of encouragement too. That you're hearing my voice, you're doing what I'm telling you to do. So, don't feel like there's something wrong with you if you need a little bit of encouragement from God. Jesus always went away to the mountain to be with the Father, because if you really read what He went through, He went through a lot of discouraging times. But He never said anything, but He always went away to the Father, told the Father how His heart was, and He got encouraged, He got uplifted. And that's what each one of us need to do. If you say you're a pastor, I witnessed this one time. I just came out of this person's church, and I went, stopped at the store, and here the pastor was in that store, and he was sitting there just a boo-hooing to this, the person owned the store, just going on like, I thought, you shouldn't be doing that. You're never going to be able to witness to him, because you just let him see that God isn't worth nothing. You just let him see you totally and completely defeated. The man eventually lost his church. But still, no, don't do that. If you have a problem, take it to God. Get in the closet and just take it to God. And believe me, as you go out and minister the word, many times you're going to be like Jesus. You're going to go to the mountain. The mountain's God. And you're going to cry out to God, you need to strengthen me. I can't quite do this that you call me forth to do. you can't, or he wouldn't send you to begin with. But you're going to have to say, Father, I really need the strength to go on to complete this assignment. And if you don't do that, then I would wonder, did God really send you? I mean, I really would call it, wonder. Some of that I'm going to cover tonight, because God said he wanted to talk about the doors, the next doors opening. And a lot of you are going to be sent out into new ministries. Brother Mark's getting on, going to get on the way there. And you know, and other, I don't know who else, but there's others. And you're going to have to be an encourager. You're going to have to be a rescuer. Like Jesus, I'm here to rescue you. You're going to have to be a rescuer. You're going to find that many, many ministers are going to come into your meetings, or you'll go to their places and you'll minister them, and God will show you that the minister is just as down as the people are. And then God will minister to them through you. So see, you can't go out there double-minded. You can't go out there half-heartedly. You have to go out there 100% knowing that you know that you know that you know that God has sent you. And then God will be with you 24/7. You really won't mess up. And if you do sort of mess up, God will sort of undo it. What I'm saying is, he won't let you mess up, because these are souls that he sent you out there to minister to. I'm going to tell you another thing. Every time you go out, Brother Mark, I think, can verify this. The devil's always there to face you. He's always there to discourage you. He's always there putting thoughts in your mind that you know are not of God. And you know it's him just trying to discourage you. And you're going to let him know that you know that you know, like Jesus did. Get thee behind me, Satan. And you're going to have to know that God has sent you out there. Now, what does God want to do this morning? God wants to do a radical change in your life. He wants to, I'm hearing him say, whitewash you from the inside out. He wants to take his power wash and just wash you from the inside out, so that whenever you go out there, there won't be anything in you that will hinder what God wants to do through you. I'm hearing God say, there's many lost souls out there waiting for you to get yourself cleansed from inside out so I can send you to them. Do you know that there's souls out there that only are assigned to you? And if you don't reach those souls, they're not going to be reached. This is what God told me one time. He said, I assign souls to different people. This, I remember reading years ago about this little old man. he was on his deathbed and he had an encounter with God. And he said, well, but I'm not ready to go because I only saved one soul. And God said, that's all I had assigned. He was one soul. And he said, that soul is with me. And so I'm going to take you on home. He completed his assignment. One soul. But I believe a lot of you in here, God said, I have assigned you for it with a million souls, didn't it? So, you know, come on. How many have you saved so far? I don't think you reached your million yet. So there's still mighty works for you to do. So let's go ahead. The altar's open. If you want this radical change that God is doing for you, so you can go forth and minister the gospel in truth and in power. And God's also telling me, some of you, you're trying to minister in something that God has not called you to minister into. And this is why there's so much coming against you. And you have to really seek God's face to find out, am I where you want me to be or am I not? All right. Somebody get behind now. She needs somebody behind her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, radical change, because I'm telling you, God's opening the doors for you guys to step into. You're going to be changed. You're going to be sent out, and you need this radical change.